Today is the March 18th, 2018 service of Hope Bible Church. Steve Hogan's message is Good Communication. If you would like to support our sermon audio ministry, please click the Support Us button on our sermon audio homepage. Thank you.
Good morning. It's great to see you all this Lord's Day. Johnny just prayed that we trust in the Lord Jesus for forgiveness. That is true. I was reading a newsletter yesterday, and churches all over the country and world say this, but they're talking about John 14:6, which says, I am the truth, and I am the way and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. And the pastor there, the so-called pastor, says, well, that's not true, but there's many ways. And we know this. We know there's a lot of false teachers and a lot of false churches around this world and country. But we here, we teach that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, right? That's it. Only through Christ can we be forgiven. That's why we're here today. We're blessed that we can be here and talk freely and openly and share the word of God, the truth of God, and might it be that which affects our hearts. Today we're going to be talking about good communication. Studies show that the average person speaks about 15,000 words a day. Now, some of you may speak more than that. Some of you may speak less than that. But the point is we talk really a lot. Probably much more than we realize. In fact, just to break that 15,000 number down, studies show that the average person talks about 150 words a minute. So what that means on a 16-hour day, assuming you get about 8 hours of sleep, that you, if you talk 6 to 7 minutes per hour for those 16 hours, you've got your 15,000. So it doesn't take that much to talk a lot of words. Today's subject is our speech. It's about talking to people, about what we say to people. I'm not talking about what we write, what we want people to read. I'm talking about what we say, what we intend for people to hear with their ears. And we need to see that God has given us language. You go back to Genesis, read about the Tower of Babel, and God gave language, and he scattered them and mixed up their languages. God gives us language. We understand that. This country, we have primarily the English language. That's our language here. It's really pretty good language. One of the best, I believe, in the world. It's got about 170,000 words in its total vocabulary. The average person, they say, has a vocabulary of anywhere from 20 to 30,000 words. So God helps us to speak. Turn then to James chapter 3. These first 10 verses talk about speech and the power of speech. James chapter 3. We'll start in verses 5 to 7. James chapter 3, this is right after Hebrews, we read, it says, see how great a forest is set aflame by such a small, verse 5, yeah. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life. And is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. You all have heard about Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler, the one probably most responsible for starting World War II, was one who could speak really amazingly well, if I can say it that way. But he used his words, he used his fiery speech to get the Germans started up, ended up with World War II being started, and the result is that about a little over 60 million people died. That's a lot. Again, the primary person responsible, Adolf Hitler, because he used his tongue. Example there of what we just read there in James 3. We continue on in James 3. It goes on to say, verse 8, no one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. The same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. It's an amazing truth that with our mouths we can both bless God and curse man. And you all know this. You all know about your own life. You all know that in your life, in the past, there have been times when you said things that have been very good, very encouraging, very beneficial. You're probably also aware there have been times when you said things that you wish you wouldn't have said, that weren't the best to say. See, the words that come out of our mouth then can do a lot of good. They can also do a lot of damage. They can be very powerful, very beneficial, but also very destructive. The verse that sums up really this whole message today is Proverbs 18:21. death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Both death and life, both good and bad, are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And one thought I want you to think about as we go through this message is that phrase, those who love it will eat its fruit. Do you love the fact that God has given you a mouth that you can use for good? You love it. You relish. You're excited. You're thankful. Man, I got a tongue. I got a mouth. I got speech that I can use for good. As Christians, then, we need to realize that God has given us this mouth, this ability to speak, to communicate, and we need to see then that we are servants of God. That's who we are, and we are to use our speech for His purposes and for His glory. God has given us the mouth. He's given us the brain. He's given us the vocal cords. He's given us the mind to know what words to use, to put words together, to formulate sentences. He's done that. He's done all that for us. He's also given us the Holy Spirit so that we can know what we ought to say and how then we ought to say it. As Christians then, think about this. We ought to be the best communicators in the world, right? Number one, because we are children of God. And as ambassadors of Christ, we should want to speak well for God. And number two, as I just mentioned, God has given us a spirit, and so we can speak well for God. So think about that. We should be the best communicators in the whole wide world. When we meet others, we often ask other people what they do. But, you know, we rarely ask other people what they say. That's an interesting question, isn't it? I mean, it's one, really, I'm not saying you should ask that of others. What do you say? What do you talk about? But you should definitely ask yourself. Because this is such an important subject, our speech. You should be thinking. You should be cognizant. You should be aware of what you're saying. Aware of what you have said. Aware of what you are saying. And aware, then, of what you are going to say. So at the end of the day, ask yourself, well, what did I do today? Also ask yourself that question, what did I say today? What did I say today? We need to see that our words have effect, that our words affect people, that we influence people in both good and bad ways with our speech. Our words are not neutral. What you say is not inconsequential. Your words have consequences. It's important then that you see the value of the tongue that God has given you, the ability to communicate, the ability to speak. We should want, again, as I said before, use it for good and for the glory and purposes of God. Proverbs 18:21, again, says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So we have this word fruit. As Christians, we are to bear fruit for God. And one way that we bear fruit is by what we say. It's by what we speak. Again, God wants you to see that the power is in the tongue, the ability that God has given you to build people up, to positively affect others, to bear fruit. In John 15:8, Jesus says, My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. And so then, please understand that you can bear fruit for God by what you say, by what you speak, by the words that you use. The best example, of course, is Jesus. John 12:49, Jesus says, I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. So here's Jesus. Amazing verse, this John 12:49. Jesus said exactly what his Father wanted him to say, and he said it in the manner, how his Father wanted him to say it. Of course, Jesus, and you think about this, he was perfect in his speech. Every word, every sentence, every paragraph, everything he said was perfect. He was perfect in what he said and how he said it. And of course, it resulted in good fruit. Then you think about this. You think about Jesus' life. And I have no doubt that he, in my opinion anyway, that he spoke a lot more than 15,000 words a day. You know why? His ministry years, that is particularly, what was he doing? What was his primary role and responsibility in his 3 years of ministry between 30 and 33 before he died? What was it? He was teaching. He was teaching every day. Teaching disciples, teaching the crowds, teaching all kinds. He was teaching. He was using his mouth, his vocal cords, the ability that God had given him to speak. That's what he was doing. So might we want to be like Jesus? You know, have you heard that phrase, what would Jesus do? Or WWJD. Here's another question. What would Jesus say? WWJS. Okay, what are some of the purposes of speech? Just a few things. These are all pretty obvious here. For your job. If you work in some place, there has to be communication for you to get your job done. And most jobs, that's the way it is. And oftentimes, companies need to be communicating and working together unitedly so to carry out, to accomplish their objectives. For your family, for a family to function, there has to be good communication. What you're doing, where you're going, how you're spending your time, how you spend your money, the instruction of children, all this thing. There needs to be good communication. There needs to be this interaction back and forth between family members, and particularly, and most importantly, in a family between the husband and a wife. You know, marriages fail, and one of the reasons they fail is because the communication fails, okay? That's what happens. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but I'm just saying that communication is absolutely essential. Communication so there's understanding. Communication so there's unity. Communication so there's love. Communication so you can talk about your purposes and your goals. Communication for encouragement. Communication for a lot of reasons. This subject is not some simple subject. This is a very, very complex subject, the subject of speech. And if you're here today, well, I don't really care about it. I feel bad for you. You need to care about speech. I want to use my speech for God, for His purposes and glory, and that's what I want to do. God wants us to be ones who are learners. A lot of you had, maybe in high school, maybe in college, not in high school, but in college, had a speech class. And most people don't like speech classes. They don't like them. Well, I got to get up in front of people and say something. It's just sort of hard to do. Speech class. But you know, the point is this. All of you are in speech class, right? God's class. You're in speech class every day. Not going to get graded per se, but I just want to say that God wants you to be one who's in a learning mode when it comes to your speech. Next, good communication is necessary for the church and in our relationships, for making disciples. There's got to be good communication. There's got to be teaching and instruction and correction and encouragement. What was Jesus doing those 3 years with his life? He was talking to them day after day after day. Matthew 28, it says, go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded. Teaching them. Or if you go, just do a study of the book of Acts. I've never done this, but I thought this would be an interesting study. Do a study of the book of Acts, and the whole area of particular interest here would be teaching, speaking, people talking back and forth. Wow. Every chapter, every page is about instruction and teaching and correction. Absolutely essential for the church, for there to be fellowship. You have to be able to talk back and forth. You have to be able to share. You have to talk about God. You have to talk about needs. You have to talk about different things coming up. For there to be love and patience, there has to be communication. I mean, think about this. You all know people, right? You all know somebody. You have a relationship with somebody. You have to communicate. You know that. And if it's a good relationship, there'll be basically pretty good communication. That's the way it is. There has to be communication for you and your relationship. For there to be encouragement, you have to communicate to help the person in need, to share the truth, to show compassion and to show empathy. In Hebrews 12, it says, encourage one another day after day. Typically, I mean, you can encourage somebody by doing something for them. I understand that. But typically, you encourage people by what you say to them. And so here's a command. This is not some nice little verse here that's thrown in there. It's a command that God gives you. You are to encourage people every day, and particularly the people that you know well, particularly the people that you hang around with, particularly if you're married to somebody, you know, or your children or family. Encourage them every day. This is what God's told me to do with my wife, okay? I need to encourage her every day. It takes speech. It takes thinking. It takes communication. It takes God, help me to encourage this person. This is what God wants us to do. For the truth to grow, God's word must be taught. It must be clearly communicated to the Christians in the church. Turn back to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah is before Psalms and Job. It's right before, I believe, right before Esther. Nehemiah chapter 8. In verses 8 and 9. This is when they had built the wall in Nehemiah's back land, probably around 450 BC, back in their land. They've been exiled for 7 years at Babylon. They returned and back in the city and rebuilding the city, rebuilding the wall, and now they're getting bound to, hey, let's worship the Lord. Let's hear from the word of God. And they had scrolls that they had found. And there's a bunch of, and it mentions this, a number of verse 6 and 7, a number of priests and other leaders there. It says verse 8, they read from the book, from the law of God, translating to give the sense so that they understood the reading. This is part of what I need to do here. You know, any good teacher needs to read from the book and translate it, give it understanding. It goes on. Then Nehemiah, who is the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." And so it's important then for the truth to go out. You have to have ones who teach the word. The purposes and goals of the church, for them to be met, there needs to be communication. There needs to be instruction. There needs to be motivation. There needs to be unity. And for counseling people, there needs to be communication. Think about two people. One's the counselee who's getting counsel, and the other's a counselor who's doing the counseling. They're not going to sit quietly, are they? Are they? No. The counselor's got to share the problems, and the counselor hopefully has some answers. There has to be communication. For there to be evangelism, there needs to be communication. The truth of the gospel must be proclaimed. It must be preached. It must be shared. Turn to Colossians chapter 4 and see how it's said here. It's interesting what it says for us, the instruction that it gives us here. Colossians chapter 4 and verses 2 through 6. Colossians 4 verse 2 says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I've been imprisoned, that I may speak it clear in the way I ought to speak." So there we see, you know, God's got to open the doors, but we know what we need to be ones who are teaching, speaking forth. And there it says clearly. So even when we think about the gospel, the single most important message that God has given us, we want to for sure make that clear. It goes on to say, "Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person." So clearly those verses, particularly verse 6, about your speech. If you meet somebody, you talk to somebody about the gospel, usually you don't just say, first thing, "Jesus Christ died for your sins." You know, you don't. There's communication. There's grace. There's graciousness. There's talking, and maybe even some small talk first, and then you... God leads to the discussion of the gospel. So again, the importance of speech as we share the gospel. So we see that communication that is vital. It's vital for our relationships. It's vital for the church. It's vital for your jobs. It's vital for your family. It's needed if you're going to love somebody, if you're going to encourage somebody, if you're going to instruct somebody, if you're going to get things done. Communication is absolutely essential, and many times we take it for granted. Might it never be taken for granted. We should see that God has given us this ability to speak, and we should want to use this ability to speak to affect the lives of other people and to be effective for God, to be ones then who are fruitful. What I'll do now is just share from a verses, and Johnny read some from Proverbs 10, and I'm going to share some more later. Maybe sometime give you a whole list. But if you want to learn about speech, probably the best place to go is go to Proverbs 10, chapter 10 to 25. You'll probably find about, maybe 70, 80, 100 different verses that all talk about speech. So I want to just go through this because, again, talk about some particulars. And even as I do this, you're going to see that I'm only talking about a few things. It's just one message on our speech. But there's a lot here. First of all, Proverbs 10:32. I'm just going to read these verses here. You don't need to look them up. "The lips of the righteous bring forth what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverted." Now this shares really the key to good speech. It says the lips of the righteous. The point being is that we need to be righteous. It's the heart of a person that's essential, that's having good speech, that knows then what to say. A heart then that's been transformed by God, transformed by His Word, controlled by the Spirit. This is what's key. Being a righteous person in your heart, then, is necessary to have righteous words coming out of your mouth. It's in the heart. That's where it starts. Proverbs 13:3. "The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his mouth comes to ruin." You don't want to say whatever's on your mind. You don't want to do that. Sometimes you've done that and you've gotten in trouble. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to just say whatever is floating around in your mind. "Well, it's in my mind. I guess I can say it." Don't do that. Don't do that. Need to guard your mouth. Need to watch what you say. And that'll be proved to be good for you. And so, again, it's a matter of learning to speak, learning to say what is good, learning to say what is right, learning to say what is true. If you're talking to somebody and it didn't go so well, this talk you had, the things you said, then evaluate. What happened? Was it me or was it them? Were they just a bad receptor or was I just a bad instructor, the communicator? You think about this. Again, don't be flippant about this. Oh, no big deal. We focus so much on our actions, and it's good to focus on your actions. We need to focus on our speech. We must be effective Christians for God. We have to be thinking about the things we say. And as much as God gives us grace, then to say the things we ought to say. Proverbs 10:19, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. You don't want to talk too much. You don't want to go on and on and on. The more words you say, the more there's a chance you're going to get in trouble. The more there's a chance you're going to say something that you ought not to say. That's sinful or that's hurtful. Proverbs 17:27 says this way. It says, he who restrains his words has knowledge. Point being, it's better to say less than more. Typically, I'm not saying I'm making that an absolute statement. But in general, it's better to say less than more. To restrain your words, it says here in Proverbs 17. We go on. Proverbs 18:13. He gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. If you're with someone, typically you want to be listening first, hearing what's on their heart, hearing what they have to say, and then speak. That is typically, I say usually, it's not good to interrupt somebody. Sometimes it is. I'm not saying you shouldn't. Sometimes it is, but typically it's not good to interrupt. Listen to that person, hear what they have to say, and then do your speaking. It says in Proverbs 18:2, a fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. You've all met people like this, right? You're talking to somebody, and they're just talking and talking and talking. You can't get a word in edgewise. They're just talking and talking and talking, revealing their own mind. That's not good to do. It's not good. God wants us to be ones who listen and then speak. Proverbs 12:18, there is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. If you're talking in a careless, reckless, and angry way, you're going to probably hurt someone. Imagine this room, you know, this guy's got this real sword. It's a sharp sword. There's a lot of people around and he's thrashing this sword. What's going to happen? Somebody's going to get hurt. See, we don't see, oh, you can hurt somebody physically. You can hurt somebody with your words. And sometimes people are angry. They're upset. At that point in time, they need to learn how to not say anything. Don't talk when you're angry. Don't do it. Get control, self-control, because you're going to hurt somebody. Sometimes people are mad and they want to hurt somebody. He deserves it. She deserves it, man. I'm going to let him have it. I'm going to do it. And maybe they're really eloquent with the words and they lash out with their words and that person is hurt and damaged. I mean, you know this. I know this. That in the past, people have said things to you that have been hurtful. And hopefully, in all your cases, you've forgiven that person if they've said things to you that are hurtful. But you know, sometimes, and many times, you don't forget what was said. You may forgive the person, but you still remember. I still do. Certain people said things to me that were hurtful, and I still remember it. That's just the brain, and I should try to forget it, and I do in general. But sometimes you remember it. The point is, your words can really hurt people and can do damage that affects them for maybe a long time. Be very, very careful then in what you say. We don't want to hurt people with our speech. We want to help people. We want to show love. We want to show mercy. We want to show kindness. That's what we want to do. Proverbs 16. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. We're to speak kindly, graciously, pleasantly, sweetly. Oftentimes we can say the truth. But we can say the truth in a harsh and unkind way. Oftentimes, we can talk to people and say things in such a way that they don't really hear what we're saying because of how we say it. You know that. You've been in discussions with people. And maybe they're sharing something good, but the way they're saying it sort of a mean way or a caustic way or a cruel way. And they might be right in what they say, but they're wrong in how they say it. So might this not be true of us? Might we be ones who learn how, as it says in Ephesians 4:15, it says very simply here, straightly, speak the truth in love. Speak the truth and speak the truth in love. Proverbs 12:19, continuing on, truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue only for a moment. We should not lie. It's pretty obvious. We're not to lie. Our goal should be to speak the truth, whether that's at work, in our families, in the church, whatever setting it might be. We are to be ones who speak the truth. God wants to be ones who are forthright, who are honest, who are not telling lies, not even a little white lie. Be ones who don't shade the truth or tell half-truths. You all understand, and maybe you've seen this too, I think a lot of you have, in our culture, and I've seen this going back into the 90s, but it seems like lying is much, much more prevalent and accepted in our society. And people see, oh, it's not wrong to lie a little bit or lie here and there, or a little white lie. It's not a big deal. It is a big deal. It is wrong. In every situation, it's wrong. And from the top of the government clear down to the individual person, you see this. And to be honest, and I'm not going to get political here, but I'm not honest. I was glad that there's a particular individual who was fired on Friday night because he lied. Well, they said a lack of candor. But he lied. That's why he got fired. Well, that's good. That's good. We need to have a standard here. And it's important for you in your life to determine, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to shade the truth. Just don't say anything. If you feel like you got to lie, don't say anything at all. We continue on. In all labor, there's profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Sometimes people talk about things that aren't worth talking about. You be the judge of that. As it says here, it's just mere talk. They're just worthless subjects. And you know what I'm saying? You with somebody just talking about this and that. And I'm not saying at times you can't have, you know, a little small talk. You know, I understand that. Sometimes there's a place for that. But sometimes people just go on. And so what? This may then keep them from working, from being productive in life. That is, there's a time to talk. It's a time just to get to work. You all understand that point. Ephesians 5:4. There must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but giving of thanks. As you know, there's a lot of bad words, a lot of filthy words, a lot of coarse words, a lot of curse words out there. There's a lot of jokes. There's a lot of silly talk, a lot of funny stories. But you know what? God wants us to be dignified and godly in our speech. The kind of speech befitting a child of God. I mean, the best example, again, is Jesus. Think about Jesus. Was he going around telling jokes all the time? What would Jesus say? He wouldn't do that. I know it. He would not do that. He was the most serious and sober-minded person. I'm not saying we can't laugh. Of course we can laugh. God's given us the ability to laugh. But watch this speech of ours to make sure we don't say things we ought not to. On the positive end, Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. This is a very challenging command. I mean, it says, only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment. But it's a goal we should shoot for, right? This command that we should always, always try to say that which encourages other people, meets the needs of people that we're with. And this is going to take grace. This takes wisdom. This takes the Holy Spirit. This takes God. Having godly speech takes God working in your heart. And let me say something. I've said it before. It's a learning process. It takes time. Learning process. I mean, when you got saved, you were a certain person. And hopefully, since that time of your salvation, God's been helping you to be a better speaker and communicator for Him. That's what He wants. Proverbs 12:25, relating to this verse in Ephesians 4, says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. You might just share one word, and it makes a person glad. Sometimes it's not in saying a lot of words. It might be just one or two words, or just one or two sentences that can make the difference in a person's life. And you, this happened to you. I'm sure it has. I know it has happened to me. Maybe having a down day, or I'm discouraged or something, and somebody says one thing or one sentence, and it changes everything. It's amazing. So understand that God can really use your speech to change a whole person's life that day. Maybe their whole life. Something you say that sticks with them. And if all of us have had this, I think you have, is that you go in the past and there's certain things that people have said that have been really good and encouraging. And you've never forgotten it. Never forgotten it. So you think about this. Again, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 11:13. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals the matter. You're not to gossip. You're not to tell a person something about somebody else that's none of their business. You know what I'm saying? You need to learn how to keep secrets, right? You all understand this. You're not to slander, not to say untrue things about somebody to somebody else. I'm covering a lot of ground here. Not to gossip, not to slander. Keep your mouth closed at the right times. Not to share a person's weakness or sin areas to someone else to make that person look bad or to make yourself look better. You're not to do that. But it happens all the time. I mean, if you're in school or if you're in a workplace, this stuff is common. You all know that. You all know that. Proverbs 10:18 says, "He who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool." We continue. Proverbs 15:18. "A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute." You don't want to start an argument, right? You don't want to start a fight. Maybe sometimes you've done that in the past. You know, maybe I'm sure I've said things. I started the problem. I wish I never would have said those first initial words. You don't want to start an argument. You don't want to start a verbal fight. You want to calm it down. You want to bring peace. You don't want to stir things up. Proverbs 15, verse 7, our final verse here. Then I'm going to read more after this. But this particular section. "The lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of fools are not so." This should be a goal for your life. The lips of the wise spread knowledge. One of our primary goals as Christians is to use our mouth to speak, to spread knowledge, to spread the word of God, to speak the truth. This is what God wants us to do. The lips of the wise. And if you're not spread knowledge, either you're naive and you're learning and growing, or you're a fool. You see, so we need to see this. This is what God wants for us. So many of the verses, and I'm going to read some of these other verses. Just going to read them. And some of them relate directly to what we've said. Some of them are different from what we talk about today. Proverbs 10:31. "The mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom, but the perverted tongue will be cut out." Proverbs 10:32, "The lips of the righteous bring forth what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverted." Proverbs 11:19, "With his mouth the godless man destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous will be delivered." Proverbs 11:11, "By the blessing of the upright a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked it is torn down." Proverbs 11:13, "He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secret, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter." Proverbs 12:17, "He who speaks truth tells what is right, but a false witness deceit." Proverbs 12:19, "Truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue only for a moment." Proverbs 12:22, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight." Proverbs 13:3, "The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his mouth comes to ruin." Proverbs 13:14, "The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life to turn aside from the snares of death." Proverbs 14:1, "The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish one tears it down with her own hands." Proverbs 14:3, "In the mouth of the foolish is a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise protect them." Proverbs 14:5, "A trustworthy witness will not lie, but a false witness utters lies." Proverbs 14:25, "A truthful witness saves lives, but he who utters lies is treacherous." Proverbs 15:1, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Proverbs 15:2, "The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly." Proverbs 15:4, "A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit." Proverbs 15:18, "A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms the dispute." Proverbs 15:23, "A man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word." "Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and he who speaks right is loved." Proverbs 16:21, "The wise in heart will be called understanding. Sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness." Proverbs 16:24, "Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." Proverbs 16:27, "A worthless man digs up evil, while his words are like a scorching fire." Proverbs 17:9, "He who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats the matter separates intimate friends." Proverbs 17:20, he who has a crooked mind finds no good, and he who is perverted in his language falls into evil. Proverbs 18:2, a fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his mind. Proverbs 18:4, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. Proverbs 18:13, he who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. Proverbs 18:8, the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. Proverbs 19:5, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will not escape. Finally, the final verse is Psalm 19, verse 14. Steve, in his introduction to the music, shared from Psalm 19. At the end of that, it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Very instructional. The meditations of your heart then are related then to the words of your mouth. It's a great prayer. Lord, help me to be speaking the way that you want. Again, I want to encourage you with this, to be thinking about this, to be praying about this, to realize that you as a person can do great blessing, can do great work with the speech, with the tongue that God has given you. And so I encourage you with all my heart to be thinking about this and praying that God would help you to be the person he wants you to be in terms of the speech that he wants you to say, the things he wants you to say. Let's pray. Father, thank you now for this time. We bless you for this message about speech. And Lord, I have been convicted about this, and I just pray you'd help me and all of us here to be ones who love you, Lord, and want to be ones who speak what is right and have you, Lord Jesus, as our primary example. Might we be ones more and more every day realizing that we can do a lot of good. We can bear a lot of fruit with our speech, and we can damage too. And Lord, I pray that more and more, if we are saying words that shouldn't be said, whether it's in the right, wrong tone or the wrong words, Lord, help us to stop mid-sentence even. And if we need to confess that speech sin to the person we're talking to confess it. Lord, but help us, Lord, then to be ones who relish, who love the idea that you, God, have given us the ability to communicate, to speak. And it is so vital for every aspect of our life, but particularly so for us as a church. Lord, I just pray that you would help us again to be a church that's speaking the truth and speaking the truth in love. And we thank you too, Lord, for this whole church here. I pray for everyone that's here today, their lives. You would bless them, encourage them. God, use them for the purposes that you have for them. Help them to use the gifts that you have given them, God. Use their time in a wise and godly way. I pray too, Lord, if any are in any particular difficult trials, you help them to trust you, to believe you, God. You give them the grace they need as they go through these trials. I pray, Lord, for those who are sick. I think of Carol Holland, who's quite sick, and Michael Holland's quite sick, and Jeff has been sick, and others here are ailing, I know, with different problems, Lord. Myrna just mentioned her bad back. She's got an MRI. I just pray, Lord, for these and others. We do have different trials in areas of weakness or illness that can really, really be really hurt. But we thank you, God, that you're faithful. Just use us and teach us. Use us in the gospel. Lord, use us to be building up the believers and our families, Lord, and one another, our friendships, Lord. Husbands and wives, we ask you for all this. But thank you now again for this time. We communicate all this to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.